Steal back. Forsberg to Granlund in front. Can't get the tip from Parsonen with a wide open net. Parsonen still roving. McDonough up top. Parsonen above the right circle. McDonough left point. Josi down low, left goal line. Backhand shot and he scores! What a goal by Roman Josi to tie the all-time Preds career points record. The captain ties David Legwand in style, and the Preds lead 3-2 with 18:33 left.
Big night last night for Roman Josi and the Nashville Predators. They win 4-2 on the road in Chicago, and Roman Josi becomes the all-time leading scorer in the history of the Nashville Predators franchise, surpassing one David Legwand in team history for most points scored by a Nashville Predators player. Welcome in today, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Chase McCabe here with you on this Thursday morning. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. Good to see you, see Chase again early in the morning, hear the dulcet tones of Max Herz. So many lovely things happening this morning.
Hop and start this morning.
Y'all keep making me wake up early. But, you know, I enjoy hanging out with you, so it's fine.
Yeah, you're becoming an old man who wakes up at 4 a.m.
I know. I yell at people. I'm like you. Right, it's great.
Exactly. Goes to sleep.
It's a wonderful life.
11:30 p.m.
It's really not bad at all. Like, somebody cuts you off. You're like, why, you little?
Yeah, just keep going. Why are you doing that?
Kaharsky voice.
Hey, we'll have him on the show a little bit later at 8 o'clock. Maybe you should show him your – have you ever shown Paul your Kaharsky voice?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he's heard it, right? I'm sure he hate listens to us. I'm
sure he does. What are you talking about, Coach Rabo? Let's break it out for
you. Is there anybody else?
At 8 o'clock.
Anybody else got anything?
Just beautiful. Well done, Chase. That was good. Preds get the win last night. They've won two games in a row. Like I said, Roman Josi becoming the all-time leading scorer in the history of the Preds franchise. So, first off, cool on that front. I mean, you don't see that happen a lot for defensemen. And obviously, Yossi's been around here for a while. And as somebody who grew up watching David Legwand in this franchise, I can tell you, like, Roman Josi, significantly better player than David Legwand was. David Legwand was a good player and, you know, obviously was here for a long time. I think as you move forward here, you're going to see a lot of Legwand's records start to fall, be that from Josi, be that from Forsberg, be that from whoever, as they move forward here. But cool nonetheless from Roman Josi last night to officially get it done. We knew it would happen at some point. I heard the interview he did with you guys yesterday, and I thought it was good for him to, you know, actually admit that it's something he's been thinking about, because it has to be something that you're thinking about. And then last night, who would have thought? He gets it done in one night. Just goes ahead and gets it out of the way, and the Predators win the game as well, 4-2. What did you think of the Preds game last night?
Yeah, well, they needed to win, so they got to win, and you know, there's some momentum, two in a row. I mean, I think it's now. Let's see how they can do against better competition. But you have to win that game. You give up those two goals, bang bang. You're like, okay, you guys are gonna mess around with this, but. You know, the Duchesne goal was obviously big with, what, 7 seconds left in the second?
Yeah.
And then really controlled the third. So, good win. Any win's a good win at this point for this team.
Well, great pass on the Duchesne goal by Matthias Ekholm to kind of set that up on that play. And another power play goal. Two games in a row with a power play goal. Tommy Novak scores on the power play last night. Josi gets the assist, and that's the play he officially broke the record on. Parsonen, a couple assists last night. Novak. Cody Glass, I thought, another pretty good game from him. Has the nice pass to Spring Niederreiter on the first goal. So, starting to maybe develop some momentum. And I know it's the Blackhawks, but, Joe, it is two games in a row where you've scored four goals. And that has been something that's been hard to come by for the Predators lately.
Yes. And at The Athletic, Mark Lazarus, my coworker, wrote the column on this game. Let me just read the headline. Blackhawks fans, it could be worse. You could be Nashville.
Yeah, I saw that,
and actually, I think he's exactly right. I mean, it's the, you know, now if the Blackhawks are terrible 3 years from now, you know, then
we can revisit.
But at least there, like, his point is the unknown there is at least appealing, because you don't know. And right now with the Preds, we know that they're locked into these deals and they're okay.
That's the age-old debate. Yeah, I mean, that was the – I mean, he got Patrick Kane on the record kind of talking about
basically saying as much.
Like, well, you know,
I want to call out real quick a commenter on this column. His name is Luke P. He says, the local media in Nashville seems like it largely does not understand this or refuses to address it outright. You're right, Luke. It's never discussed in Nashville.
Never once talked
about
that.
Not one time. That's all we talk about here is this team looks bound for the Stanley Cup, right? Another one, eh? How many have they won? We never talk about that, Luke.
Is the root.
Finger on the pulse, Luke P.
That was Joe's favorite guy right there. All right.
The ceiling is
Let's
roof.
Get a little bit more Michael Jordan in the show. Be good.
Yeah.
The ceiling is the roof.
Oh, yes.
Just, yeah.
It's that winner start the show.
Stuff. Another Chicago legend like Luke P.
Oh, man. Good stuff.
Is Luke P's number hanging up in the United Center?
Well, it could be.
I don't know. Or maybe, I mean, the Preds could probably put a banner up for him, I guess. Find a reason to put a banner up for him.
Luke P.
Woo, a lot of early 6 a.m. shots at the Preds.
Wow, you're just on one this morning.
Two in a row. Two wins in a row. Feeling good.
Got Colorado coming up on Friday. And you've said it. I mean, look, you beat Edmonton. It's great news. If you would have lost last night, that kind of derails the Edmonton win. But you didn't. You get the win, so two in a row, maybe some momentum you're starting to generate here. And you said all week, got to win one of the next two against either Colorado or Dallas. And then you maybe starting to get back into a part of the schedule where it gets a little interesting. I mean, you got Anaheim coming up, and they've been just absolutely terrible so far this year. Vegas, Montreal, Carolina, Washington, you know, a lot of Eastern Conference opponents to begin next month. But if you could wrap up the rest of this month and get back to where you're – heads a little bit above water if you're the Predators against some of these Western Conference opponents, that would be great. I agree. Probably need to win one of these next two, be that against Colorado or Dallas. Be great if you can win both. Definitely need to win one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you know, you of course have to like beat the Ducks and win those games you're supposed to win. They've been fine there. For the most part, they've won the games they're supposed to win, right?
For the most part.
So, got to start winning some games that maybe you aren't supposed to win.
I just want to give a certain shout-out to Chase McCabe, who, in my absence yesterday, nailed the Preds pick to click with Nino Niederreiter. Nailed it.
I felt so confident about that. He was due. And David Poile kind of called him out in a David Poile way.
Yeah.
You know, David Poile's never like, hey, you need to play better, but he has his subtle ways of doing it. And I took note of that when we talked to him on Tuesday, and so I thought, he's due.
Yeah, I mean, I was very hesitant to take Forsberg, and now, of course, you know, the one time out of every 20 that I get to go first, I go Forsberg. God,
well, it was interesting that everybody on the board last night, other than you, converted in Preds pick to click.
Sweet.
The listener's now first place.
I'm sure he's going to complain and call some conspiracy on that.
Yeah.
Blow it up, Preds.
Blow it up. Glad you got to go first yesterday, though. Just want to make note of that. While I was gone, you did go first.
Right. I like going first when you're there, so you have to endure it.
Oh, good. We'll see if we can fix that as we move forward. Tom on the text line talking about Tommy Novak. I will say, that's two games in a row he's come up. He gets the assist on the first goal the other night against Edmonton. Last night, scores the power play goal. You know, I don't know that Tommy Novak is going to be like some offensive juggernaut for the Predators as they move forward here, but productive in the first two games coming up for Milwaukee. Good to see that when you call up some of these guys. I mean, look, Parson was productive when they immediately called him up. Novak has been productive when they've called him up. Jankowski scored, I think, in his first game after they called him up. So that has been something that has worked relatively well for the Predators so far.
I mean, I'm expecting like hat tricks galore from Tomasino when he's called up in April.
If Tomasino gets called up, he's just going to light it up, man.
You know what I'm expecting? I'm expecting Carl Taylor to be an NHL head coach.
Well, maybe
I mean, what's going on here?
Like, I've seen Preds fans calling for him to be their head coach.
Well, I've said it's a matter of time before he is, but I feel like I've said it's a matter of time before Carl Taylor is a head coach for like 3 years.
I know. I kind of thought this last cycle he would get a look, but he didn't. It was just kind of weird.
He's really good.
Probably.
It's got to be coming. It's matter time before he's head coach. We'll see what happens on that front. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. We will continue to discuss the Predators. Todd Richards, Preds assistant coach, will join us at 8:30. Looking forward to that conversation. We got a whole lot to get into with the Tennessee Titans today, including some news yesterday that takes this Titans team and this regular season right now from bad to worse. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Santa Charles Barkley coming to town, and he's delivering $20 million in gifts this holiday season to all FanDuel customers, and it doesn't matter if you've been naughty or nice. St. Chuck has something nice for everyone. Just check your FanDuel app, and no sweat, same game parlays, bonuses, all sorts of stuff available to you that'll fill your holiday cheer. New to FanDuel? Now's the perfect time to sign up, and remember to use promo code ROB. The app is easy to use. They're always hooking you up with great promotions, and when you do win, you'll get paid instantly. The formula for this Titans-Texans game coming up on Saturday has changed a little bit. This is going to be an interesting one. I will take Derrick Henry as an anytime touchdown scorer because it's the Houston Texans, and he's played against them a lot and had a lot of success against the Houston Texans. I will also take the under in the game as a whole, but you can take it any way you want to take it. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook and get in the holiday spirit with $20 million in gifts from Santa Barkley. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Price total dependent on customer participation. Wager requirements apply. Gifts awarded as non-withdrawable site credit or free bets. See FanDuel.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. No, we're not. Sorry.
We are live.
I'm going to get a bell for that for you.
No. I haven't done it in a while.
All I know is Michelle Knezovic is not going to play the hair rock that Chase just rocked out for us.
You'll hear some hair metal today. I'm going to tell you that.
I like it.
I think Chase went back like 3 years ago the other day.
What's that?
To another studio.
Yeah, I did. That actually happened.
That actually did happen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, from the...
All righty.
Well, in yesterday, Joe and I had like a, okay, over under how many times I'm going to call the show Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. And we got a lot of Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, doesn't count. It's like Joe when he almost mutes. Doesn't count.
I muted more than Joe did.
He muted and I didn't mute.
Oh, boy. Yeah. What a day.
Big day.
Not a great day for the Titans yesterday. We've talked a lot about Ryan Tannehill's status for this week after sustaining the injury again on Sunday against the Chargers. The replay of the ankle kind of just getting caught up behind him there did not look good, and he was able to come back, play in the game. But you always wonder when an injury like that happens, what's the after effect going to be like when things swell up, when you have to travel back? Honestly, not a great time for the Titans to be traveling across the country from L.A. back to Nashville. What's it going to look like? And Paul Kuharsky, who we'll have on the show coming up at 8 o'clock today from paulkuharsky.com, the first to report yesterday, and Joe, I know you've been able to confirm since then, that Ryan Tannehill likely done for the season with the injury that he sustained on Sunday. Paul also putting it in there that Dylan Raidens has torn his ACL. So some news there on the Titans front as well. But Tannehill likely done for the season. We knew there was at least a pretty good chance that Malik Willis could be playing on Saturday. And now it looks like he could be playing the rest of the way. Just your reaction to that news and what that means for this Titans team who is already seeing their regular season kind of dwindle down the drain in front of them.
Yeah, it's a rough spot there for the Titans. And, yeah, good job by Kaharski. I'm reading TD, Teron Davenport's story on ESPN. He also confirmed it. They both got the term quote, very likely.
Yeah.
I got most likely. I don't know if there's a difference there. Very does sound a little bit more definitive. But I got most likely back. I think basically if somehow this team went on some amazing, crazy run, could Ryan Tannehill at some point in like well into January get back on the football field? You know, I mean, maybe that's possible, but are the Titans going to be playing into January? Are the Titans going to be playing after January 8th? I think that's now really, really questionable.
Well, the Titans make a move at the quarterback position yesterday. Joshua Dobbs being signed by the Titans, so when you see another quarterback get signed, that kind of clued you in on what the situation could be like for Tannehill, at least for this week, and then the reporting yesterday that he's likely done for the season. I mean, I would assume, Joe, that means that Malik Willis is going to be the starter at least for these next couple of games here. And I heard you guys yesterday on Jared versus Joe kind of throwing it out there. Well, if it doesn't go well with Malik Willis and you've still got a chance to win the division that last time out in Jacksonville. Do you make the switch? Do you go to Josh Dobbs at that point? I don't know. I don't know how the Titans are going to view that, but I would assume Malik Willis definitely Saturday and probably against the Cowboys too, just given the quick turnaround of that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so. I mean, look, it's an interesting question of Dobbs. Like, are they looking at Dobbs like a couple weeks and maybe he's a better option? I don't know. I don't know that he is a better option. Been in the league longer. Actually has played less already than he's thrown less in the league than Malik Willis has. So I'd keep an open mind. You know, I mean, I think some of it obviously has to do with Malik Willis's performance here. But are they looking at it like purely like just insurance, you know, a better backup than Hogan? Or is it like, hey, maybe in Jacksonville, maybe he'll end up being the better option? I it's interesting. What a story that would be. You know, out of all things, Josh Dobbs, you know, your division hopes rest on Josh Dobbs.
I did not have that one on the bingo card this
year.
That's
a wild thing to think about.
It's that time. VFL's back in there, baby.
I thought you were going to play the Lions fight song.
Rob.
Josh Dobbs is an LFL.
And I was there the last time Josh Dobbs played on that field at Nissan Stadium. He looked pretty good.
Music City Bowl.
Looked pretty good.
Against the Huskers, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Restore the magic.
I mean, he's probably had about the NFL career I expected, you know?
Yeah.
Consistent accuracy always eluded him, and that's what it's about. But, I mean, he's a freaking rocket scientist.
Yeah.
So,
which,
you know,
they pointed out, I think, every time Tennessee played any game of any
sort. It's on his Twitter bio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Does it say rocket scientist?
Yeah.
Okay.
On his Twitter bio. That's awesome.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, it actually is rocket science for him.
Astro Dobbs.
That's right. I'm trying to think of the last time. Basically, when you see Josh Dobbs play is, in preseason games. But you never know. Sometimes these quarterbacks are kind of journeymen, and they bounce around their backups. Like, you have no idea what kind of thing, like how they've developed. I mean, I know it sounds like the greatest job in the world, you know, like be a backup quarterback in this league, make a lot of money, don't get hit. But sometimes those guys will come into a game, and you're like, oh, wow, the guy can get on a heater. Or, wow, that guy's actually improved. I had no idea. How would you have any idea?
Right. Well, on the Tannehill front, I mean, this is a situation now with the Titans where you've been looking at the roster, looking at what they've got available to them, and asking the question, all right, can they get healthy enough on the defensive side of the ball? Can Treylon Burks get back in there to where they can go out, they can beat the Texans, we'll see about the Cowboys game, but basically, can they be healthy enough to field a roster by that Jacksonville game that if it comes down to the division, they can go on the road to Jacksonville and win the division, host a playoff game. And if Ryan Tannehill is not going to be a part of that, it's just really hard for me to get there. I mean, beyond the injury issues that we already know that they have, like if you don't have your starting quarterback, and based on what we've seen thus far from Malik Willis, and I get it, this is going to be a big opportunity for Malik Willis as he moves forward here, but based on what I've seen to this point, I just don't know that the Titans are going to be capable of doing that. Now, hopefully, if you're the Titans, maybe you get some help tonight as Jacksonville takes on the Jets. And, you know, if the Jets can win this game tonight, that would help the Titans out a whole lot heading into this weekend. But if Ryan Tannehill is not going to be a part of the equation as they move forward here with the Titans, it's really hard for me to get there where this is a team that has any sort of chance whatsoever in the postseason and maybe even to get to the postseason.
Yeah. Well, look, yeah, he's not going to be part of it before they get to the postseason. So that's the funny thing. Like you said, if the Jags lose tonight, is it certainly I think the Titans still have a great chance to beat Houston Saturday.
Yeah.
And then you just that Cowboys game. How crazy would it be if after all this they don't even have to go play for the division in Jacksonville?
Just beat the Texans and the Cowboys.
Just get help from the Jets and, it's Thursday night. And again, with the Cowboys, so, I mean, the Cowboys are I mean, I guess it depends, right? But they, if they're locked into the five at that point, why do they care? When do they give a crap about coming in here?
Well, and also,
they're gonna be the five.
Like, I get it. The Jags are playing really well right now, but like the way some people are talking about the Jags is just like, oh, it's just automatic wins they've got lined up moving forward. And I'm like, well, it is still the Jags. Yeah. Like, it's not like they're, you know,
and the
Chiefs out there,
right? And the Jets have a good D. It's on the road on a Thursday night game,
right?
They could lose tonight.
Yeah,
you're down in that chase. You think your Cowboys are coming in here to?
I don't see them sitting guys 2 weeks in a row because we've seen that happen and it hasn't worked. It's been counterproductive. So, as much of a meathead as Mike McCarthy is, I think that you're welcome, Rob. That was for you.
Thank you.
I think that Dak and company would play against the Titans. Now, the next week, probably not. But I think against the Titans they will.
Yeah. Yeah, but
now, if they pull away early, then they won't. But it'll be the rush show.
Yeah,
you're saying if they have already blown the Titans off the field as a
yeah, like well, I mean, I don't give the Titans much of a shot against that defense.
It might happen.
Mike, what are your thoughts?
Probably not.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
That defense looked awfully good against Trevor Lawrence the other day.
Oh boy. Okay, Rex Rome's throwing shots at everybody this morning.
All right, Rex,
we're 25 minutes in the show, and I think he's throwing a shot at everybody on the earth.
Nice, go nice, write an article or something.
Nice pick six there. Dak. Yeah. By the way, I don't know if you guys saw what was it? LeSean McCoy going on? Some of the hatred toward Dak.
What'd he say?
Well, it was just pure, like, he's terrible. I'm like talking about that last pick. Like, he put it between his numbers.
Hit the receiver in the hands.
Like, you can't, like, throw it better, can you? Like, the receiver.
Well, he can throw it a little better, but, yeah, I mean, hit his hands.
Yeah. I mean, like, the receiver completely the Dak stuff is wild to me. I mean, he's good. He's not amazing. He's good, right? Or is he amazing?
I would say, no, I'd put him in that second tier.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's not elite, but I think he's really good.
And yet some people act like he's just awful. I guess it's because it's the Cowboys.
I don't know. Yeah. There's just general haters for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Ryan Tannehill, the report that he is likely done for the season, and what that means for the Titans. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. More on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Chase McCabe here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up at 6:45. Jared Stillman joining the show at 7 o'clock to recap a little Jared versus Joe yesterday, where a preliminary congratulations to you, Joe. Victories for both you and Jared yesterday.
Yeah.
You love to see it.
I guess. We agreed on, like, everything, which makes me feel bad about myself, but it happens.
A little more into that coming up at 7 o'clock when Jared Stillman joins the program. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on Ryan Tannehill, 615-737-1025. Likely done for the season. And, Joe, I did have this thought yesterday when that news was put out there. Was it the last time on Sunday that we will have seen Ryan Tannehill play quarterback for the Tennessee Titans? There's a lot of things that have to be sorted out and figured out from now until that point. You know, we're going to see what Malik Willis has as they close out the regular season here, I would assume. Obviously, the Titans have to go out and hire a new general manager. So depending on who that is, the role that general manager will have in terms of how much power they have with decision-making, what does the quarterback situation look like for the Tennessee Titans next year? I don't know. I would still say that the most likely scenario is that Ryan Tannehill is back and that he's the starting quarterback next year for the Titans. But I will say that thought did cross my mind yesterday, is maybe Sunday was the last time we saw Ryan Tannehill as the starting quarterback of the Titans.
Could be. Yeah, it could be. It'd be a sad way for now, though. I guess, well, actually, a dude on a ridiculously jello-y ankle, yeah, still leading a tying drive with that offensive line and group of receivers. That's actually kind of an impressive way to go out, really.
Yeah, but it really is.
But it would be that'd be too bad. I'm with you. I don't know what the percentage is right now. I would certainly say it's more likely that he's back under contract to be the quarterback next year. But, I mean, again, we don't know who the GM is. Even if we did know who the GM is, we probably wouldn't know exactly what the GM's thinking, right? But he's going to go through a lot of the same stuff that we've been talking about and we'll continue to talk about. You know, how competitive can this team be? You know, what can you do in one offseason to make this an actual contending type team? Can you do that? And is it worth the hashtag Fink? I don't know.
The hashtag Fink. I don't know. I mean, it's
– shout out to Keith.
This is going to be an interesting development from this standpoint, Joe, because I was thinking about this yesterday too, with Malik Willis presumably getting the start Saturday. And look, I think it's more most likely that he's the starter for the rest of the regular season. I mean, I guess they could put Josh Dobbs in there in that last game in Jacksonville if they had to, but my guess is Malik Willis is probably going to be the starter the rest of the season. Like, this is a pretty good chance to see a little bit more of what he can do, what he brings to the table. And if you feel like that's something that you could build on next year, we talked about it the other day before the Tannehill news came out. You know, he's got ability to him, and he's made some throws this year where you're like, okay, I can see why he was discussed the way he was in terms of potentially being a first-round quarterback heading into the draft. Now, you're going to be the starter, I think, at least for the next 3 weeks here to close out the regular season. What do you do with it? How much improvement do you show? How much improvement have you shown already from where the season began until now? Like, I thought he came in on Sunday and he made some good plays, made some good throws. I think there's still a lot more polishing that's going to have to take place for Malik Willis. But the other part of this, Joe, is we don't know who the general manager is, and we don't know what the decision-making is going to be like. And Malik Willis is a third-round pick from a general manager that's not here anymore. How is the new general manager going to view him as they move forward here? Is he going to be a part of the long-term plans? Is he not? I mean, he'll be on the team next year, but how is all that going to play out when it comes to Malik Willis and his future?
Yeah. Well, and and how Vrabel views him is probably, very well may matter more than how the GM views him. Well, especially if the GM is who Jared thinks the GM is. Did you see Jared's? I mean, we'll get into this with Jared. But it's a doozy. I tell you what, if he gets this one right, tip of the cap to Jared. How they feel about him, I mean, he's about to dictate that, right? I mean, he's got a great opportunity to change how they might feel about him, to improve how they might feel about him. And right now, he's a rookie who should have not played it all this year if you had your way. If you had it how you want it, he wouldn't have played a snap this year. He's not ready. So my question in the short term is, do they feel more comfortable doing more things in the offense with him? You know? I mean, because basically they've been doing boots, screens, you know, half the field, or, you know, throw the fade. And they haven't been, say, drop back, read this, and then, you know, just dictate the offense from there, communicate with your receivers on zone man, and just do the passing offense. They haven't done that much at all. Are they comfortable doing that? I don't know. But I think one thing Todd Downing has to do is run him. Run him a lot more.
Well, and let me tell you this. Whether he wants to run him a lot more or not, he's probably going to have to. Because here's the other part of this. Their offensive line right now, we know how bad it's been. Nate Davis hadn't practiced the last 2 days, and Ben Jones is in concussion protocol. Those are your two best offensive linemen. And if those two guys can't go on Saturday, an offensive line that's already been a mess could be an absolute disaster out there on Saturday for Malik Willis. He's gonna be one. He's gonna be running one way or the other, I think, coming up on Saturday.
Wow, that's right. So, yeah, a 1 week. I'm not kidding. Install the Veer. Maybe this makeshift offensive line would be great in a different scheme for a week. I mean, you could be talking about. Let's see. So Daly is back. So that's, you got that going for you. Yeah. Woof. Again, like you said, Kaharski reported on, you know, Raiden's ACL. I mean, he's. The signing of these new offensive linemen tells you, you know, that they're just they're just getting bodies off the street to have enough offensive linemen on their roster. So you might be looking at, I think Brewer, I got to go back and look at the injury report now and how it changed yesterday from the day before. It's hard to remember because there's 93 names on it.
Well, Brewer's a limited participant the last 2 days with a rib.
Okay, Brewer, yeah, Brewer maintained at limited.
And by the way, Petit Frere's on there with the ankle. Limited participant, yeah. Too. Like, sure. Everybody's hurt.
Sure.
It's unbelievable.
Okay, this is weird. I don't know what this means. Like, look at this. I just opened it up. Why is it blue on my screen?
Probably because the Titans website is malfunctioned because there's so many people on the injury list.
It's like radioactive.
Don't even know how to keep up.
I can't even read it. Okay, yeah. So, obviously, yeah, Ben Jones. So, you're talking – so, you're probably talking – I guess if Brewer can go, then Levin at center?
I think you have to.
Right?
Yeah.
And then – so Nate Davis's latest thing is he's a DMP 2 days in a row.
It's not good.
So Jordan Ruse, right guard?
I guess so.
And then
hopefully Petit Frere can go right tackle.
Petit Frere is a 2 day limited on the ankle. What if he can't go?
I don't know. I have no idea what you do.
I honestly have no idea who.
What's
right
David
would
Stewart
be.
Doing?
I don't know.
I mean,
it's unbelievable.
It's wild. Yeah.
So go to our
make it even worse.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Weston. Weston, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Robbie. Thanks, Joe. One quick thought on the Tannehill situation. I mean, if Malik Willis can't prove himself in the last three games, I really think the Titans are in a position, because you have Tannehill, who's aging, having injuries, and being consistent throughout this whole season. And one guy that I think would fit the Tennessee offense well, I mean, I know he has an ACL injury, but coming up in the draft class is Hendon Hooker. I think if you put him and Derrick Henry together with Treylon Burks, I think you got a pretty good quarterback situation.
Hey, thanks for the call, Weston. I mean, look, Hendon Hooker, first off, I don't know where he's going to end up in the draft. My guess is probably mid-second round, early third round, somewhere in that neighborhood would be my guess. Yeah. I don't know. He's going to be somewhere.
But he'll be a rookie next year.
He'll be a rookie.
And Derrick Henry has how many years left?
Right. I mean, it's to me, if you're drafting a quarterback, and not – I'm not talking, you know, oh, we like this guy and he fell to the fourth round. If you're drafting a quarterback high this year, if you're the Titans, that signals that you think that he can be your guy. But it's also kind of an admission of a reset with the franchise.
Yeah. Also, yeah, and it's a new GM, so anything the new GM does is fine, because like if John Robinson were still a GM and they drafted another quarterback in like the second or third round, be like,
what'd you draft, Malik? Yeah.
Yeah, like maybe get a player who can help you right now, you know? But new GM.
Yeah, what
whatever has happened.
What's Stretch going to do?
Yeah.
Hey, man, like I said, if Jared's right,
look, tip of the game. I don't think he's all that crazy on this one.
We talked about that 2 days after John Robinson got fired.
Jared says a lot of crazy things, okay? But that one,
oh, yeah, but, okay, so you heard his whole thing?
Yeah, well, he also ran it by me. but yes, yeah, I mean, I see where he's coming from on it, because if you believe the whole Vrabel power struggle takeover thing, then it totally fits.
Yeah, let me tell you, if that is the case, if John Stryker is a GM, John Stryker, smart guy, and
yeah.
Someday I think could be a GM. A lot of people said that. If he gets the GM, and I think there's some fast-forwarding you can expect, but if he gets a GM job, without doing any personnel stuff really, and the Titans are selling it with this, like, hey, employee spotlight, John Stryker, dude. I mean, it's a little bit clown showish, isn't it? Again,
absolutely.
I mean, I just
doesn't mean it won't happen.
No, but I just think that it was probably a nice little feature on Stretch.
Could be.
That, again, if this turns out to be what it is, I will laugh at the Titans, and I will tip the cap to Jared. I don't think this is what can.
That'll hurt you to have to do that.
Well, hey, I made fun of him yesterday, but I said, you know what? If you're right. I'm impressed, man. That's some sleuthing. The Pink Panther theme.
Oh yeah,
is
it's back.
Very well deserved for Jared.
Ken and Waverly on the text line says, if Dobbs is even in question about playing for the Titans, why would you keep Willis? Dobbs was on a practice squad for the Lions, not even the active roster.
Willis is a rookie.
How bad is Willis that people are even talking about Dobbs playing?
Willis is a rookie. Willis is a rookie. Willis is a rookie. Willis is a rookie who played an offense that's nothing like an NFL offense. Willis is a rookie who shouldn't have played at all this year. How could you say, why would you keep him? Why did that piss me off so much? I don't know, but it's so stupid.
Hey, Joe, what year is Willis?
God. Like, just get rid of him then. If he's not great as a rookie, well, get rid of him. Who said
probably
this?
Ken and Waverly.
God, Ken.
Ken, we love you.
Sorry. I might have been a little aggressive, Ken. I'm sorry. I don't know why that triggered me.
Take your
6 a.m. hour.
Take your best and worst things in the world of sports. Hit up our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, as you do every week, would you like to kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports?
I would, and I'll keep it very simple and very local and very individual. Best, Roman Josi. It's the best this week, best. Slim pickings, I'd say, right? The
and
sports
that's been
around
your
here.
Take for 3-4 weeks now. Having a tough time finding the positives.
Globally, best the World Cup final. Okay, so that's my honorable mention. But best, I'll go Roman Josi. Becoming the Preds' all-time leading scorer, the captain, classy guy. Couldn't happen to a better guy, and some positivity weaved into this season, which is needed. Some
it is.
And worst, let's go to Ryan Tannehill. Just brutal situation for him. And, man, if that is it, and I just on Twitter, someone is, like, sending me old tweets where I said, I wouldn't assume he'll be gone next year. And I said, okay, well, I think it's about 70-30 he'll be back. But that 30, and I don't know, is it 64-36? Is it 72-20? I don't know, but something in there. It's more than 50-50, I think, that he's back.
Let's – way more realistic that he's gone next year than it was this time last year.
Right.
Based on the contract.
Exactly. But there is a decent size percentage chance that that is it for him if that's the case. I hope Titans fans appreciate what he was. I think he was one of two standout quarterbacks in the history of the Tennessee Titans. And really, I mean, one of the better quarterbacks that the whole franchise has had. And man, the fact again that he ever got dinged for toughness by anyone, make that a worse too. God, what a stupid thing to say by whoever said it. Anyway, it's too bad for Tannehill. Brutal, ugly looking injury, and it's a guy. This is when you don't give a quarterback an offensive line. This is what can happen to that quarterback.
Yep, and the Titans are seeing that firsthand right now. Chase McCabe, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
All right, well, my best one, I'm going to go semi-local because I was having a discussion about this last night. So I watched, while doing the Preds game, Western Kentucky absolutely destroy South Alabama 44-23. That score is not really indicative of how much of a beating it was. But why isn't Tyson Helton getting more looks for bigger jobs? He's done a fine job
really
at Western.
Has.
I mean, that's been a quarterback factory, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look at Austin Reed last night, 497 yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, I know that's one bowl game, but 9-win season. They were the underdog in this game and won pretty handedly. So, my best is the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. Go Tops.
Nice.
Good for them.
Bailey Zappe.
Yeah. Bailey Zappe.
Some people in New England like to see him throw the ball a bit.
Well, look, when you're a part of that Jeremy Pruitt Mike coaching White. Tree, like Tyson Helton was, it's the only thing that can happen.
That's
is
what
get
we
stuff.
Think of as great passing
great
offense.
Great passing offense. Yeah.
Well, he's a bright spot for
there's no question
for that era or yes. error at the University of Tennessee.
Yes, he is.
My worst in sports, Carlos Correa. 12 years, $315 million with the New York Mets. This is after he signed agreed to a 13-year, $350 million deal with the Giants.
Yeah.
Then they see something wrong with the physical, and so he reopens his free agency, and the Mets are like, sure, we'll bite, and sign him to that. They've spent $800 million in free agency. They're going to have $100 million in taxes, and they're not going to win crap. Sorry, Willie, but he even agrees with me.
So, their payroll is half a billion because they have 111 yes. million yeah. in luxury taxes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Willie's not happy.
No, he thought it was a dumb move, which it is. It's, I mean, you're.
Is TD happy?
I think TD's happy.
If I was a Mets fan, I'd be like, hell yes. Spend yeah, but, all your money.
Yeah, but I mean, Correa's good, but 12-year deal?
Oh, it's, yeah.
Well, I don't know that I'd give anyone a 12-year deal. I really don't. Like, no. That's a long time.
And look,
baseball contracts are so
stupid. I know people that know me are going, well, aren't you upset over Dansby going to the Cubs? Honestly, look, Dansby, love Dansby, but no, I'm fine.
Good for
Enjoy Chicago.
Yeah. Hey.
That's how I feel. I mean, they got Vaughn Grissom. They can put it short. They'll be all right.
Yeah, Mets had Verlander, too, didn't they? Didn't they sign Verlander?
Who, the Mets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Mets have signed everybody.
They're getting it in there.
I mean, they're just like, here, you get a contract. You get a contract.
Steve Cohen, man.
Bobby Bonilla still getting paid?
Bucks.
He is, yes.
Bobby Bonilla Day.
There we go. We talked about the best and worst jobs in sports. Like, I threw that out there on Twitter the other day. Bobby Bonilla's got a pretty sweet gig.
Oh, man. 25 years of that.
See, if I could be a washed-up player that gets paid $1 million every year or somehow get a job as a college football coach and then get fired.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the life.
It'd be great.
Like, if I could be at Orgeron right now, that'd be fantastic.
This would be awesome.
Yeah. And think of the ladies, too.
Oh, yeah.
They love Ed Orgeron.
Coach O is Coach O is living his best life. Maybe there were some questionable decisions somewhere down the line, but he's living his best life right now.
Hey there, lady.
Go Tigers.
My best and worst things in the world of sports. I don't know if y'all saw this. I'll start with my best. I don't know if y'all saw this the other day, but the Avalanche were playing the New York Islanders, and Cale Makar basically was just like wheeling around the net yes. like he does. And he and Matt Barzal of the Islanders got tangled up a little bit. And there's a still shot of like Barzal's glove on the back of him, but there's not much contact there. And Makar goes down. And when you're moving as fast as those two move, I mean, it looks like he just got tripped on the play or like drugged down from behind. So the referees call the penalty. And Cale Makar gets up. And he basically, like, skates over to the officials and waves it off. He's like, nah, man, I just slipped. I fell. I've never seen that. I have never in my life seen a professional athlete wave off a penalty in my life.
This is your best?
Yeah, man. I love
this
it.
That's one of my worst.
Why?
Choir boy, take the penalty.
He'll be fine.
Wait.
That was
when
funny.
Was that?
Yeah, he did.
It was like Monday? Tuesday, somewhere earlier this week.
How did I miss
He's
that?
He's wheeling
I've
around
never,
the net.
That's wild.
He gets taken down, and I mean, it wasn't a penalty. And he gets up, and he's just like, nah, man, don't call it. And they didn't. Like, they called the penalty, they held it up, and they're like, oh, I guess we're not going to call it. And then they just played on. It was unbelievable. I've never seen anything like
that.
All your own penalties.
If I'm Bednar, I'm going, what the hell are you doing?
I think it was 0-0 at the time, too.
That power play could have won the game for us, Cale.
Good guy, Cale Makar. Joe's a
healthy
hater.
Scratch Cale Makar after that one.
Maybe so. My worst thing in sports, I'll just go Titans injuries as a whole. We talked about this earlier. Like, I've never been a let's blame the strength coach guy and strength training staff guy. But I said it earlier this week. Like, at some point, with the injuries piling up the way that they piled up, like, the results are what they are. And maybe you have to react accordingly if you're the Titans. And my God, look at this week. Just look at the injury list this week for the Titans if you've not seen it. It is unbelievable. And that's not even factoring in like people that are already on IR and that we know are out. But the injury list for the Titans this week is just absurd. And look, I will say, like, at least the Texans have a lot of names on their injury report as well. Now, they have a lot of full participants in practice, too. They had two guys yesterday for the Texans that did not practice. It's unbelievable. Two guys.
I mean, Dennis Daly sat out the walkthrough, not injury-related, Monday?
Yeah.
Monday? How is he abdomen? What, did someone angrily punch him in the stomach because they have so many injuries?
I have no idea.
Like, how is he abdomen on, like, you're just walking around the facility and anvils are falling on your head now?
Unbelievable. This has been the best and worst things in sports. You can check it out every week at 6:45 on Thursday mornings. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our good friend Jared Stillman to recap a little Jared versus Joe. Yesterday, it was a little too nice for my liking yesterday on Jared versus Joe.
Though.
So we'll change that a bit coming up here at 7 o'clock. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from OrderGreen.com.
I do. Ordergreen.com, which is the nation's number one online shop for all things cannabis. Shop online for a wide selection of high-quality THC and CBD products, edibles, gummies, vapes, flower, you name it. They got it. They also have a team with extensive knowledge of all these products. What this means is that you as a customer know you're getting the highest of quality from reputable providers. You get nationwide same-day delivery right to your doorstep. And if you get a subscription to ordergreen.com, you get 25% off every shipment of gummies. If you use promo code JOE20, 20% off.